I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know. That sound of Colts fans booing Andrew Luck last Saturday after news broke that the 29-year-old quarterback is retiring from the NFL. And that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by the Washington Post's Jerry Brewer and by the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Karen.
All right, Jerry, get us started.
Karen, Nora, the story that might define the NFL season has already happened. Andrew Luck at 29 years old has left the game because of a rash of injuries over the past 4 years. He says it's just robbed him of his passion for the game. It is one of the most modern stories because the news broke on Twitter and it was delivered to Colts fans in the middle of a preseason game, which is why they booed. But the greater question now becomes, without one of the best players in the NFL, what is going to be the lasting impact?
The thing that stands out most to me is that, okay, so Luck was drafted in 2012, and he's part of this 2012 quarterback class that's always been really fascinating to me. Luck was in an offense that, once it had him, kind of looked at him as the savior to all their problems, and they felt like they didn't need to invest in offensive linemen. And as a result of that, plus, you know, to a degree, his own playing style, he was hit more than really any quarterback in football, and it was a major factor in him getting hurt so much. And it led to this tragedy for the sport because this was one of the most exciting players that we've had.
Colts fans are upset, right? They booed. They're claiming that they're going to give up their season tickets, but then they're not giving up their season
tickets.
They will not. That's not really happening.
Of course not.
As you point out, they're really upset at the wrong person. And I am not one of those people who wants to see all the football players walk away from the game so that the game dies. Like, I really love football. I want it to continue. But I would like to see enough players walk away from the game for teams and owners and coaches and all of these people to realize that if you don't do more to protect the bodies and the minds of these men, your product will suffer. How many more does the game have to lose for that to happen, Jerry?
Karen, I think we would need 6 to 8, maybe even a dozen. You saw San Francisco linebacker Patrick Willis, one of the best linebackers in the league, was on a Hall of Fame track. He quit a couple of years ago. Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. He seemed like he played for 50 years, but he was only 29 years old
right, when
he retired. So if you had another rash in which players decided, look, hey, I've made a lot of money and it's my time, I think that would force the NFL to consider things. But we're still talking about inching in that direction instead of really marching in the direction.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk about something that is somewhat related. Since last Saturday, retired NFL fullback LaRon McClain has been tweeting about his struggles getting help under the billion-dollar NFL concussion settlement. And most of what he says I can't actually say on the radio, but here are a few cleaned up phrases. Help me, please. Please pray for me. Scared for my life. I mean, these are the kinds of things he's talking about. So I think it's a good time to talk about what's been going on with the NFL's concussion settlement. So the NFL has paid out on many of the largest, most serious claims. And at last count, $660 million in awards had been approved. But we all know CTE can't be diagnosed until after death. So more than 60% of the players filing under the settlement are filing under early or moderate dementia. And of the 1,800 of those claims filed, only 312 have been paid. And what players like McClain and their families are saying is that they need help, and instead they're getting buried under a never-ending stream of paperwork and appeals and audits. Nora, what do you make of all this?
Well, first and foremost, it's just really sad.
Yeah.
Because when you read those tweets, I'm not a doctor, of course, yeah, but they don't read as though they're coming from someone who's in a clear frame of mind. It just makes you feel sort of helpless and just sort of disgusted that an organization as powerful as the NFL is letting that happen. You know that it's within their power to do a lot. And yeah, so when you see an example like that, you just feel like, why? Like, why is this guy getting buried in paperwork? That's been the main challenge for guys, is just all of the paperwork. How do you get approved? When do you get approved? And does it happen in time? Because, of course, they're sort of fighting a clock here if they feel like they have an ailment that mostly falls into the category of something degenerative.
Karen and Nora, the NFL has to ask itself a question. Are we a tough sport that is going to take care of its players during their careers and after, or are we a barbaric sport? The more stories that we hear about players contemplating or following through on suicide because something is wrong with their head, I think of a running back, Larry Johnson, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs. There was a Washington Post story by Kent Babb written about how he's worried that he's losing it. The league, right now, they're just trying to protect the money that they have. They need to worry about protecting the reputation of the sport down the road. And so in that sense, compassion is also good strategy. And the NFL needs to start thinking more strategically about this issue.
Yeah, it's true. It's a really weird comparison that keeps popping into my mind. So my husband and I right now are fighting with a extended warranty company about our dishwasher, which isn't working properly. And it is so annoying because they just keep wanting more things. Like, I want a photo. No, I want 5 photos. And the NFL is using these tactics on its players who the very nature of their disease makes it difficult to jump through all these hoops. Call me crazy, but the NFL should be better than an extended warranty company. All right, Nora, you do you.
Wow. Okay, so we have kind of an all football.
We do.
3
it's
things.
Happening.
This is my jam. but with a little bit of soccer thrown in, because I am here to talk about soccer god Carly Lloyd, who on August 20th nailed a 55-yard field goal.
Woo-hoo.
She did have a running start at a Ravens-Eagles joint practice. Now, this happened, and it set the world ablaze because there was some talk in the aftermath about could she kick in an NFL game? And then there was a reaction to that, which was really fascinating to me because you had a lot of people who I swear to you have never considered the tackling skills of a kicker in their entire lives. All of a sudden, really concerned.
Really
that
worried.
She might not be able to do it and she might get taken out. And people just tell on themselves so easily. It's wonderful. So I don't really care if Carly Lloyd is like an amazing NFL kicker. Like, she's an amazing soccer player. That's the point. My thing is, I think the reaction to this is crazy because we shift so quickly into she needs to prove herself worthy when it's like, okay, regular season, it would still be really cool. But also, people were talking about this relative to her kicking in an NFL preseason game.
Uh-huh.
As someone who watched a more than 3.5-hour preseason game on Thursday night, do you know what a blessing Carly Lloyd would have been? We need Carly Lloyd. Carly Lloyd does not need us.
Nora, Sebastian Janikowski, 260-pound kicker, played in the NFL for 19 seasons. He had 19 career tackles. Kickers avoid contact. Like you said, that is a fake concern. For people who wonder if it's just going to be this giant PR stunt, when has an NFL team ever liked distraction? I would like to see her try it just because I'm curious. But I don't think about it necessarily from a gender standpoint. I think about it from the standpoint of here's one of the greatest athletes of all time in one sport testing herself in another. And I think you learn a lot about greatness through some of these things.
You don't see this as a gender thing, but for me, Carly Lloyd's gender is really important, and this is where I'm coming from. So I'm all about the silly stories today. So I have this friend, and she is the biggest NFL fan I know, male or female. But the last time she and I went to a game together, we're standing in the security line, and we get the no chicks chant.
Wait.
Right. Yeah. Patriots game. Craziness. And then we get to our seats and she's telling me all about, she's a tiny little thing. She's telling me all about how she can't find a shirt in her size that isn't pink, sparkly, or like overtly sexy. And she loves this game more than anyone I know. And yet it just keeps like telling her that she doesn't belong. And I know that if she saw Carly Lloyd on the field, she would know that she belongs. And maybe, this is me being way overly optimistic, but maybe the next time someone starts the no chick chants in the security line, someone will tell them to shut up.
Okay, wait, hold on. If any woman is at a Patriots game and has people yelling no chicks at them, like my DMs are open for you. That's unbelievable. Yeah. God, I'm mad. I think I come at it a little bit more from Jerry's perspective where it's just, I just want to see someone try something. And then all of a sudden, instead of that being the central focus, it's,
well, what if she has to make a tackle?
And that's the gendered part of it, which I find very frustrating because it is getting in the way of watching someone test themselves as an athlete. So I think that's why I find it so frustrating.
All right. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been the Washington Post's Jerry Brewer and the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I'm going to go like yell now.